Hello and welcome to The On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Brie.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
I don't know why I didn't say that. I just...
Also, last night I had a dream that we
That it was a beautiful
it.
Day to podcast?
No, that we switched it.
Why were you dreaming about
I
that?
I did not dream last night. I consciously anxiety'd. But okay, so, so try saying like...
Okay, welcome. What did we say?
Hi, and welcome to The On Call Room.
Hi, and welcome to The On Call Room.
A Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Brie.
And I'm Abby.
That's hard. I almost said I'm Abby.
Yeah, it's hard to say the name.
Yeah.
Anyways, if you are listening in a car, on an airplane, on a walk, on a run.
With your face down on the couch.
Or that, cleaning.
Yeah.
Hello, and we are a podcast that deep dives all the episodes of Grey's Anatomy. We are currently in season 15, episode 10, 11, and 12. So if you have not watched the entirety of Grey's through now the season premiere of 19, please go back and watch because we are a spoiler podcast and we're going to talk about things in all of the Grey's universe.
Yeah. And if you want to support the podcast, you can do so by going to Patreon. Patreon.com/theoncallroom. We have a lot of different levels.
Ooh, a new one. Or, not a new level, but a new thing.
Right, exactly. So we have intern, resident, or attending. And if you now become a $10 attending, not only do you get Zoom calls monthly, you also get an extra 10 minutes of content when we call Time of Death. Tonight we're talking about Link, DeLuca, and Meredith and kind of
who's better for her.
Yeah, exactly. But also, Abby and I decided that we're going to react to the current season, season 19. So we gave all of you our first episode on that. Everyone had the opportunity to listen to that. But now it's going to be behind the paywall. So you have to be a $10 patron to hear our reactions to season 19. If that's something you're interested in, then support us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Today... Well, actually, Brie, Brie had a fun weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about what this means. I think I asked you, what is a haul?
Right.
Would you like to tell us what you did?
Yeah. So we went and celebrated Pulaski Days, which is a Polish festival in Grand Rapids. I think there are around 15 Polish halls in Grand Rapids. And in order, they're like bars. Like, think about like the American Legion or something.
Okay.
You know, just like weird places.
Like with a strange dance floor.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Small. There's different types, often associated with churches because, Polish and Catholic. Mm. And so, but on Pulaski Days, they have like a big parade and they have like a, you know, like how Coast Guard has like a queen.
Yes.
Or used to, the Pulaski queen and stuff. There's like a pageant.
Can you be the Pulaski queen?
I don't think so. I think it's like a scholarship program type thing where, okay. Yep. So, but I saw one at a hall. That's my point. But if you're not a member of a hall, then any other time during the year, you can't go drink there. You can drink for cheap.
Unless you join.
Okay. Or you can like go in with a member.
Okay.
And the dues are like pretty cheap. I mean, so there's also, there's some small ones and then there's some bigger ones. And often there'll be like two stories. There'll be like a bar on the main level. And then there'll be like a hall to rent out on the upper level.
Ooh.
A lot of times people will have like wedding receptions there. I'm surprised. Well, probably.
That I've not shot a wedding there?
Yeah, probably because it's not your clientele.
Yeah.
And because it's like, that's more on the like budget end.
Got it.
Yeah. And
did you almost look into a hall? You had like a moment of, or for a party? You're going to have your Arizona wedding maybe. And then you were going to have like a party there?
Well, we are going to have a party there. So John is turning 40 in April. And three of his friends between March and June are also turning 40. So I'm renting a Polish hall and we're throwing a big 40th birthday party. Now, John knows about this. That is why I joined a hall this weekend.
Ooh.
Because if you were a non-member, to rent the hall was $1,000. If you're a member, it was $200. And it was like $40 for until 2024. I am a member of this.
Wow.
So you get to come in. They have like events. Some halls will do like fish fries during Lent.
Oh,
some will
that.
Do like burger night, taco night, you know, so sometimes we'll have like Santa during the holidays. And so anyway, we went around drinking and John and I joined a hall, and we also got an application to join another hall. It's called Little Hall, and he really wants to be a member at that one. That one, you have to have a swearing in ceremony. So watch out, everyone. I'm going to be a member two halls. And, but we were just going to go, we were just going to go out from like, I think we went at like 3 p.m. on Saturday, and we were like, let's just go to Little Hall and like have some kielbasa and have a beer and whatever.
Is there always kielbasa, or just because it was,
it's just because it's Pulaski days.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we go to that one, and then there's like 3 halls in that area. And I was like, well, let's just like quickly go over to Eastern Hall. And so we walk over to Eastern Hall, and then I was like, you should message your parents, because his parents are Polish. His dad's like 100% Polish. And I was like, they're out for Pulaski days. So we met up with his parents on the west side, and we were out till 11 p.m. So we were went out at 3. We're like, we're going to have a beer and go home. Stayed out till 11 p.m. at the Falcons. And I learned how to polka. His dad, well, his parents were out with their friends. And I was like, yeah, I've never polka'd before. I'm also Polish, but I've never polka'd. And his dad's friend was like, get out here, and taught me how to polka. I stepped on his foot. And then I found out his son loves Titanic. So we talked about Titanic. And then John has never polka'd. So his mom taught John how to polka. And then I danced with John's dad. And then Reva and I danced together. And then John and I danced together. It's exhausting.
Oh, it's a lot of hopping.
It's one, two, three.
Yeah. I feel like I knew at one point, because it's big in Wisconsin too. Like all of my Wisconsin relatives are. And so at every Wisconsin wedding, they play a polka.
And it's great. It's a lot of fun. But
great cardio.
It's great cardio. I think John and I should take polka lessons or something. But I found that I really want to lead. Like I'm not very good at being led.
Same.
And so John also, I feel like, isn't good at leading. He kept running me into other couples, and I kept yelling on the dance floor like, you need to look where you're going, John. You need to lead me around the people. Like I was so mad at him. His dad was a fucking pro. And then he did this little turn move where we like went arm in arm, and then we did like 1, 2, 3 walking.
Oh.
It was so much fun. And John and I tried to do At one point, his parents were dancing next to us, and they kind of taught us the move. And they're like, we're like, whoa, what is this advanced move? And so we start walking in a circle with them doing the move. Another polka song starts. We're like dancing. And I was like, John, let's do the advanced move. And we go to start doing it. And we're like, abort, no one else is doing the move. Like, we're doing it at the wrong time. It was really funny and really fun. And if you ever have an opportunity to go to a Polish festival, you should do it, because it's good food and cheap drinks and great polka music. So
I would love to do that.
It's always in October. So
I'm always so jealous of, at every wedding, there is an older couple. There used to be more. There is sadly fewer as the years go by, who like, they know how to dance.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like I guarantee you, they went to dance halls when they were young.
Yeah.
And like, if there's one thing about culture that I wish had stuck around, there's a lot that I'm glad we've left in the dust, but like that idea of like going out and dancing with your friends and like actually having there be dances, that is something that like I so badly wish I knew how to do.
Yeah. Not just like going to the club, but like dancing with a partner.
Right. Not me improv dancing to Usher, but like, so but the favorite thing is that at a wedding, these couples are dancing to like, till the sweat drops down my back, but they're like doing it to some classical dance.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can, and they're always amazing. And I always go up to them and I'm like, I was like, you are the winner of the best dancers on this dance floor. But it makes me sad there are fewer and fewer, because they're fucking dying.
Yeah. Well, John and I have talked about taking a dance class. So if we do, maybe you and Jake.
I would love to. Jake and I did for our wedding, but it was like a slow dance and it was, oops, sorry, my sound is on. And it was like not what I would like to do. But like, oh, I have never had the feeling of like a man who knows how to dance.
Yeah. Whip you around that floor.
What I would do for that.
I know, man. I know that it's not my husband.
No,
but
nor
I think
is
he,
it mine.
I don't know that he ever could be. He's just such a gentle, I feel like he'd like, wouldn't be assertive enough to but I also, maybe I'm the one.
Jake,
maybe
we
just swap and I'll just leave.
Do you remember when in high school we went and saw that band Death by Dancing?
Yeah.
And Jake and that other really ginormous, like tall football player kid.
Okay.
In your high school, I can't think of his name. He was like, I've never seen, he was so tall. He played football in college too.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Anyways, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, they, him and Jake were moshing in the front. And I was like, we're going to die. Like,
yeah.
These bowling balls are, and that is Jake.
There's not light on his feet. He's got to get light on his feet for that polka.
Oh, I don't know. If, yeah, you got to be more on the up, not the down.
Yeah, well, John's dad said that his sister was too bouncy. She was too bouncy. She had too much energy. And he's like, you gotta glide. No, he's like, you gotta glide. And so after I danced with him, I was like, did I glide? And he was like, yeah, like, a little bit better. And I just kept saying like,
did I glide?
I glided out on that floor. I was really gliding.
That sounds so much fun.
It was really sweet. It was, yeah, it was a great time. And there was this older lady there who was working. Oh, you can also, maybe you can volunteer with me next year.
Okay.
To like sell tickets.
Okay.
Hilarious. But she had on this hat that was all Coca-Cola cans. It was red because Plasky Days, everything's red.
Yes, yes.
It was, and it was like felt and it was like crocheted, but they were like,
yeah, yeah.
And we made like eye contact and she was like pointing to it. And so, and she called me over and I walked, I was like, love the hat. I love a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, it's like kind of like a family heirloom, like made it a long time ago, blah, 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 but I'll sell it to you for the right price. I was like, what? And Reva was like, $10. And she just stared. She was like, that was offensive. I'm so sorry. That is worth way more than $10. She's like, no, I really will sell it to you, like if you offer the right amount. I was like, wow, you really don't care about this family heirloom. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't afford that.
She probably has 20 in her car.
Oh, yeah, she makes them all.
She's like, you want this family heirloom?
You want it?
It's Donna.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Donna, she's finding me later in life.
She's finding business also. Okay.
So that was it. It was a really nice weekend and it's fairy fall around here.
Yeah, it is. You know, we love a weather update.
Did you see that it hailed today? I was driving. It was hailing.
No, I didn't see that. I've been inside most of the day.
Oh.
I love this time of year and I hate it because all of my photo sessions cancel. So.
Oh, because it's so rainy.
Yeah. So
yeah, we were supposed to get a new roof today and they just canceled.
Should we go up there and
just start hammering things? No. We'll fall off and break our arm. Okay. We have a lot to talk about. Thanks for listening about Pulaski Days. If you have any questions, let me know. I'd be happy to tell you about it. I think that was the mail. It was kind of scary.
Okay. Yeah.
I would they like, usually come around this time.
I would like to go with you next time. Also, I just noticed that scarecrow on your
That's from swing. My childhood.
Well, he looks like he's from the 90s.
Yeah.
How does he not get stolen?
People aren't walking up on our porch. I have like a rug and throw pillows out
That's
there
true.
All.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a camera outside if people come up.
That's true.
Also, why would someone steal my scarecrow?
That's true. Why would anyone steal that?
Stop it.
I'm just kidding.
Stop it.
Okay, let's get into Grey's. We have a lot to talk about. Today, we are talking about season 15, episode 10, 11, and 12, Help, I'm Alive, The Winner Takes It All, and Girlfriend in a Coma, which I need to find out, is that actually a song name or is that just what happened in that episode?
that's a wacky song name.
So I will start. Voltaire said that...
I read that as Voldemort.
Voldemort said that the art of medicine is amusing the patient while nature cures the disease.
So, can you imagine if he said that?
He does in the fifth movie. So according to one of the greatest French philosophers of all time, Voldemort... Surgeons aren't really helpers. We're more like circus clowns.
That sounds like a very Voldemort thing to say.
But help comes in many forms. And sometimes, no, I'm not going to do this. And sometimes tells me Voltaire never held an aorta while a patient's entire blood volume pulsated between his fingers.
He would have liked that, though.
Help comes in many forms, a kidney, a kind gesture, a friend to light your way. And still too often we insist on doing it ourselves. We're afraid of looking weak, of not being tough. Truth is, we're all capable of walking through the world by ourselves. But most of the time, life is better with company. Meredith Grey, stop laughing.
I'm just thinking of Voldemort. I watched this TikTok the other day where this guy's like, I spent like 90 quid on this mask and it was a Voldemort mask. It was so bad. He like at the end puts it down. And he just looks like a pig.
Voldemort, I've seen how fun it looks to dress up as him for Halloween and just like run around the town. Yeah. Like, why have I not done that?
Put a bald cap on?
Yeah.
And just go.
Yeah. And no one would know who I am.
Yeah. You should do that next year.
I wish I had. Should I come to our friend's shower dressed as Voldemort?
I just imagine these pictures of you looking really sad with like a glass of wine. I'm being like really embarrassed.
Everyone else is in pretty outfits. Yeah,
Voldemort. You're like, I thought this was a costume party.
Voldemort eating a cheese board. Voldemort playing the panty poem game. Oh no. Bree's weak today also.
I am really weak. Going. I feel like emotionally. Battle. This is the next one. Battle, fight, win, lose.
Shit.
These are the words you use when, okay. These are the words we use when someone is diagnosed with an illness or a disease.
We might have to take a break.
Okay, I got it. We use militarized language that implies it's a fair fight. But when it comes to life and death, what does winning really look like? Is a person a loser for dying when the outcome isn't really in their control? When it comes to medicine, who's to say what is winning or losing? There's just as much value in trying again as there is in letting go. Letting go of suffering, regret, pain, fear. Instead of saying someone we love is battling, beating, fighting, winning, or losing, why don't we just tell the truth? We get sick, we take our medicine, some of us live, and some of us die. Jesus Christ.
Wait, Meredith, I kind of Gray. Like that, though. I hate that, like, idea of, like, oh, you're
battling
yeah,
cancer
there was
or whatever.
What was I reading or listening to where they talked about, it was very side topic.
Uh-huh.
This may be, this girl that I follow on the internet, she's a podcaster, is going through IVF. And she talked about how she hates being called like a warrior because like she's choosing this and it's just like science and this is what she has to do. And that the warrior part makes her think it's worse than it is. Like yeah. you're fighting something. So I actually was just, anyways, I like that. Like if I have, I don't want to think like, oh, I'm in a fucking battle for my life. It's like, I have this, I'm trying to get better.
Yeah.
I have no, anyways. When I had COVID, I felt like I was battling.
Dude, seriously.
Anyways.
I think it just depends on whatever your
personal.
Personal. Yeah, if someone says like, I'm battling cancer and I'm, then like, I think it's
empowering.
And appropriate for you to talk about that person in that way. But if they don't use that language, maybe we stop using it.
I like that. Okay, great. Okay. Time is a strange thing when you're waiting for something good to happen. It can feel like time is dragging on. But when you want it to slow down, it goes by in the blink of an eye. The odd part is time isn't real. Whoa. It's a concept imagined by scientists based on the imperfect movement of the Earth around the sun. So why do we put so much importance on something that's just a theory? Because it's all we have. There's never enough time. Work, kids, life, death. Something always cuts our time short. So our best bet is to make the most of the time we have or make up for lost time. But sometimes, if we're really lucky, time stands still. Wait, so time's not real?
No. It's just a construct. We just made it up. Like, we didn't discover time.
Right, I guess so.
Like, we discovered gravity.
And gravity's real.
Well, yeah, we're here.
Yeah, time, weird.
Time is, I mean, like,
right,
we had to find a way how to, like,
measure.
Like, yeah, and explain getting older and, like, the days and stuff. But, like, if you think about it, like, time, why 12 hours, you know?
Minutes.
You know, like, it doesn't have to be hours. Like, it just is.
Wow. What else it feels like a construct to me are miles, because I use time to tell someone how far away I am.
Yeah, miles.
I mean, miles are real. But, you know, and it's like, how far away are you? I'm like,
but are miles real or is that just construct?
It could also just be a construct. Okay.
Is anything real? I don't think this podcast is real.
No, it's definitely not real. Okay. Shock and workup. Uma Paxton, recurrent vaginal tumor.
Owen Hunt, influenza.
Natasha Dionne, broken pelvis, windswept pelvis, ooh, internal bleeding, sacral fracture. I'm going to keep reading because she's in the last episode too. Empyema, broken pelvis, pneumonia, dead bowel, pulmonary embolism.
Jesus. Claire Conway, toxic megacolon.
That's
Jesus.
That's what I have.
Jesus Christ.
Catherine Fox, grade 3 chondrosarcoma.
Thatcher Gray, acute myeloid leukemia.
All right. This first round is long and I wrote it, so I'm going to have my punishment by having to rate it. Here. Okay. Catherine Fox is back at the hospital and she is furious with Meredith for telling Maggie about her diagnosis. She fires her off of her medical team. She's in town to perform a major surgery on a patient with a recurrent vaginal tumor. She hopes to be able to save the woman's uterus despite the damage from the chemotherapy. While in surgery, Jackson questions whether she should be operating while in pain. And after, he says that it's decided that they are not able to save the patient's uterus. Catherine has to close up the patient and tell her the horrible news when she wakes up from surgery. And afterwards, Catherine, Richard, and Jackson get in a fight about her only telling Tom and Meredith about the diagnosis. And she says that she didn't think either of them were stable enough to hear the news and that telling them would make it real. She breaks down crying and they console her. Throughout all of this, her medical team of Amelia and Tom are struggling to find ways to be able to remove the tumor without paralyzing Catherine. Joe comes in to help, talking to them about a method and a tool used at another hospital. And when it's finally time for Catherine's surgery, Jackson finds her inside the OR and they talk about the first time that either of them operated. Catherine tells Jackson that she snuck into the gallery and watched his first surgery. Tom and Amelia break down what they're going to try to do during the surgery. And despite Jackson and Richard wanting to interrupt, Catherine tells them that they need to just trust the people she chose. Before surgery, she kisses Richard and she dances with Jackson. And during the surgery, everyone is watching from the gallery and becomes too much for Jackson, who needs a walk. Maggie follows him and relates to what it's like to having lost a mom. Bailey sits by Richard, and when things get dicey in the surgery, they have to turn Catherine over. Richard tells them to use the pen that he created to take out the tumor piece by piece and use the pen to make sure they got all of the cancer. They end up doing this, and when Catherine finally wakes up and realizes she has function in all four of her limbs, they break the news to her that they got 99% of the cancer, but they had to leave one nodule. Catherine will have to live with this type of cancer forever. She's grateful that they gave her time, and she promises to attend her own party in a few months.
Damn, you did a really good job on that. So the next one, Teddy is trying to get a job at Seattle Grace, and to do so, she has to talk to Bailey, Alex, and then finally Maggie. Her and Maggie are not working well together since she is Amelia's sister, and since Maggie is head of cardio, it's not looking great on the job front. After Owen wakes up from accidentally getting injected with a paralyzing agent during a surgery, Teddy tells Owen that he needs to make sacrifices too. She invites him to move to Germany, but instead he offers Teddy his job as head of trauma. He offers to work underneath her. After this, Teddy meets Tom inside one of the lounges and they share French fries and introduce each other. Owen finds Amelia and tells her that although he wants this baby with Teddy, he also wants him and Amelia to be a family. Teddy supports Tom as a friend before and after Catherine's surgery and even invites him out for a drink after. He says that he's too tired and smelly, and if she is going to spend money on him, he wants to smell good. After surgery, he walks into the chapel and talks to his son. I'm going to popcorn.
Okay. Amelia, on the other hand, attends a meeting with Richard where she says how grateful she is that she was sober throughout all of this and could feel all of the good, bad, and hard feelings.
Oh, I'm back. Sorry.
You're good.
Had to, got a tickle. I had to cough. That's why popcorn's a really great tool to use. Next is Meredith needs help with her kiddo's birthday party. And after working with Link all day, who at first she thinks is very cocky and has golden retriever energy, she ends up respecting his work and learning more about him. He offers to help and they have a great time together at the party. She admits that she likes him, but it doesn't go any further than that. Meanwhile, DeLuca is having an incredible day as a surgeon, stepping in for Owen after he collapses and saving a patient's life. Even Alex compliments him on his job well done.
Levi gets in charge of working on Owen after he collapses and he successfully intubates him and keeps him alive until he wakes up. Fueled by this success, he finds Nico and says that it's all thanks to him that he's found his confidence. Nico says that he surely was this way all along. After introducing himself to Teddy as Dr. Schmidt and not glasses, he and Helm put contacts into his eyes to fit this new image.
On the day of Catherine's surgery, Meredith is planning to be with Richard, but he requests that she go visit Thatcher instead. We find out that he may not even have a week. When Meredith arrives, the nurse knows who she is because there are photos of her all around the house. Thatcher is not doing well, is on oxygen, and becomes weak when talking too much. We learn that after Alexi died, he got sober and traveled the world, specifically to Zimbabwe. He built schools and met new people and had an exciting, adventurous life. Meredith accuses him of always running away and not being there for her when he tells her that he did come to Derek's funeral, but didn't talk to her because he thought it would be more for him than for her. They come to an understanding that he wasn't perfect, but in the end, he did try. He thanks Meredith for giving him a second chance at life and for giving him more time. Meredith ends up sitting with him until he passes, and then he gives trinkets from Zimbabwe to her kids and tells them that they are from Thatcher and that he cared for them very much.
It's a big time jump episode, and we can see the passage of time through patient Natasha, who stays a total of, I think it's 85 days inside Seattle Grace Hospital. Breeze just tiptoeing away. Before she and her fiance, Garrett, decide to take her off the ventilator. Throughout these 85 days, we see Catherine working on getting better and struggling in recovery. We see New Year's Eve parties that Meredith invites DeLuca to and then stands him up. And we also see Bailey and Ben work out their differences as he moves back in with her and Tuck. The biggest changes that happen within these 85 days are Teddy and Tom getting to know each other and ultimately going on a date together to get manis and petties, of course. We see Betty at rehab, who has a boyfriend named Linus, and admits to Owen and Amelia that her real name is Brittany and that she ran away from her parents when she found out she was pregnant. She's afraid to tell her parents because she is scared they will take Leo away. And lastly, after juggling the love triangle of Link and DeLuca, Meredith ends up standing Link up on a date at the restaurant, and DeLuca pulls her to the rooftop where he has champagne ready, and they finally kiss.
Kiss they do. What are your first notes?
Mine, which it's not really addressed that much, but I just wrote Bailey's in therapy. Like,
yeah, I said the same thing. I said Bailey's in therapy and waiting for her meds to balance out.
It feels like she's trying to call herself fixed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like Bailey, I feel like, is one of those who's like, oh, there's a problem, there's a solution. But I feel like therapy is not like you're ever done.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you fix the problem, you're good now. Like, I feel like it's a constant working. So I feel like also that therapist seems awful. She's not very nice. I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes you're not supposed to be nice in therapy.
That's
true. Supposed to be empathetic, but you're not nice.
But I just thought, like, I guess it's showing that she has progress. I'm very confused about the whole Bailey-Ben thing.
Yeah, let's just talk about it really fast. Because did we even put that in a...
It's not around. It was in the last one I just read. I'm assuming there's things happening on Station 19. And this is where we start to just feel a little disconnected. I thought it wasn't a really good way when Bailey's talking to him and she's like... She says something like, you need to come back. Like, the fence needs fixing.
Yeah, and I'm lonely at home.
Yes, when Tuck is gone. I'm like, that is not how you get someone back.
And no.
Like, yes.
She does preface it with, like, I haven't practiced this. I haven't thought about what I wanted to say. It's like, well, maybe you should have. I do think it was sweet that when they finally do get together, that Ben is kind of like, you can't ever leave me again. Like, you can take as many job sabbaticals as you want. You can... You know, whatever you need to do, but like we have to be in this together and I need you to commit to that. And I don't really think they really waver again in seasons.
I don't think so. And also it's all off screen if it stuff happens. So
I did think it was nice to the callback to like, I told you I'd build you a treehouse and like he didn't. And he's doing that for her.
Oh, back to episode when she was little. Like,
yeah, when she had a heart attack. And he was like, she was like, please build me like a treehouse where I can go. And he never built her one.
Okay, I forgot about that connection. I was thinking the treehouse was for Tuck.
No.
But that's, okay, that's very cute. Yeah, so they're back together. They have another sexy bedroom scene as they always do.
They always do.
So that's good. Okay, I feel like the big one to like, not to not get rid of it, but like it's the big talking point is like Catherine.
Catherine, for sure.
This felt similar to, except like it seems like it came on a little faster than like the Nicole Herman series. There's a lot that I loved about this. I really love Amelia and Tom working together.
Yep.
I liked when they both did superhero pose.
Yep.
The fact that they keep bringing that back makes me really happy. And
even though we found out the research isn't like real on it.
Exactly. It makes them feel good.
Yeah.
I just think like it was interesting to see Tom be not confident like beforehand and just like, cause he's usually the opposite way. It's like, we actually feel better in surgery when he starts being an asshole.
Yeah.
Then you know, he's confident.
I like too how he was like, okay, well, my way is not going to work. Like, let's do your way where we just spew out every possible scenario and they both talk about their fears and stuff to each other. Because that is very Amelia. So I really liked that interaction.
They've slept together, right? Like back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Richard and Catherine kissing goodbye before surgery was very sweet.
Yeah, and Jackson dancing with her.
Yeah.
I mean, that
okay,
was a little...
I have a note. I said, I can't tell if I like this or if I'm annoyed by it. And then I said, I think I like it. Like, I love that song.
It took away from the Richard and her moment a little bit.
Yeah, I just like, it was kind of, I don't, how do I put this? Like, sometimes grays can be cheesy in a good way, and sometimes it can be cheesy and I'm embarrassed watching this. Yeah. And I had that embarrassing feeling, yeah, you know?
I get that. I very much
where everyone was, and like Boki was dancing. I was like, what is going on?
And is that the song she was talking about that she played when yes. she first operated?
Yes. And okay. every time that she's gone into every scan and like, and this goes back to this thing where like, I feel like I wish I had another example because I feel like we just talked about this on another episode, but sometimes Grey's Anatomy does this thing in an episode where they like, take this piece of information about a character. I feel like they did this with Maggie recently. And they make it such a big part of that character.
When it's never happened before.
When it's never been talked about. And it's like so detailed. And I'm like, I know we need to do it. It's a TV show. We have to like,
right.
I don't know why this would have ever come up before. But it just feels like why? Well, you're trying to write this story to, or like this part of the story to pull at our heartstrings. But it doesn't quite do that because it doesn't mean anything.
And you just introduced it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like to me that, like, Derek saying it's a beautiful day to save lives makes sense. We heard him say it often. His very scrub cap makes sense. He wore it all the time. If we'd heard this song and Catherine, you know, same with like Richard and Adele to my, I just hit the table, dancing to My Funny Valentine, it at least came up twice.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you. It just kind of came out of nowhere. The one thing that I did. Well, I don't like when these people just assume their children are going to be surgeons. But when she was like, and we both will be here to watch Harriet.
Yeah.
And that part made me sad because like in that moment, you don't actually know what her future is. Her having that breakdown too felt like really real. Sometimes Catherine can, she's just so confident because she's had to be. And like, obviously like, I don't know that it was fair to like assume Jackson and Richard wouldn't be stable enough for the news. Clearly they are. Richard is like back in meetings, like doing really well. But like, when she finally breaks down that the reason really she didn't tell them is because it would make it real.
Yeah.
That is something I can empathize with, you know?
100%. And then they both look at each other, Richard and Jackson, like, oh, here it finally is. And they're like, you know, I love too that like Maggie is like wanting them to get into it. And Bailey has some like really great lines about that.
When Maggie stops Bailey from going in the room and she's like, they're,
she said, yeah, Bailey said, but the storm's going to come when it comes. And I don't know why that like really resonated with me. Like you can't in life force things to be dealt with. Like it's going to come when it's going to come. And Maggie trying to control, like they might not have as much time. Like Maggie has these regrets about what she did with her mom when her mom was sick. And like, I want Jackson to be dealing with this. And it's like, you can't, this is their life and their family. And then I love that Maggie standing outside when they're fighting and she's like, Bailey's about to walk into the attending lounge. She's like, the storm, like it's happening. The storm's here. You know?
I really liked in that fight when Catherine yells and says, I'm married to a felon. She's talking, like she's pulling at everything she can to like make it okay that she didn't tell them. But that part just killed me. I'm married. She looks at Jackson. She's like, I'm married to a felon. Because Jackson's like, what?
Yeah.
He doesn't know about that part. I also, in the Maggie Jackson part, this is just making me realize even more that like maybe why their relationship didn't work out is like it started when Maggie's mom dying and Jackson being there for her. And then there's this and like, maybe they're connecting on that. But like once that's done,
They just got in a huge fight and then they got back together because his mom's sick.
Yes. Yes. And, but I, the part that made me very weepy is when, Jackson has to leave the operation because it's too much. And he says that he feels like a scared little kid.
Yeah.
And he says, and she finishes his sentence and she says, like, nothing is safe. Like the world's upside down and nothing makes sense anymore. I wrote, great acting. Jackson is like crying.
When he says after that, he says, I don't like it. And he starts crying. That made me so weepy. It's like you can acknowledge, okay, I feel like a scared little kid. And then to acknowledge like, I don't like how this feels. Cause like, yeah, your mom's sick. Your mom's in surgery.
We are all little kids.
Oh, that's all we are. We're just little kids running around in adult bodies with all our little wounds.
Because time is a construct. So it doesn't, we've not actually really, yeah. We're still little kids. But yeah, that was maybe one of a favorite Grey's moment for me in the way that it just felt really like how I would feel.
Yeah.
If that, you know, and just, yeah. Oh. She's not trying to fix it for him either, which I appreciate. She's just in it with him.
Yeah. And then when Catherine wakes up, I really love that, you know, she says people live with cancer. I loved the line that she said, miracles aren't always punctuation marks.
Yeah.
Amen, period.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was great. I think we all were expecting her to be mad. Even like Amelia and Tom, you know, thought like they were basically like, we didn't do it. Like yeah. we didn't complete this. And her, clearly she kind of has a change when she's actually having to heal. It's right. a lot harder, but I feel like, yeah, this was just a beautiful thing. Also, we talked about this already on the show. People do live with cancer.
Right.
Like there is, it's not always like you never got rid of it and you die, or you did get rid of it and you're in remission. There's this in between place.
Right. And I think she even mentioned she didn't think about that possibility. It was like either she died or they got all the cancer and her limbs didn't work or right. whatever, you know?
Right.
It was like, there wasn't this possibility that she could make love to her husband.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Wow. When she,
I don't know, but I felt embarrassed when I watched that scene.
Okay. When
that's more about me than her though.
No, I don't know. There's something, I don't want to be ageist at all because no. like older people have sex and they should, and they probably have better sex than the rest of us because they've been doing it a lot longer and whatever. But when she was like, the way she said, like, get me in that bedroom or something, I was like, whoa. And he's like, she's back, baby. I was like, oh, no, no, no. It feels like watching my grandpa do that.
Yes, it feels like, or your parents. Like, yeah, yeah. It feels something about how long we've known them.
Yeah, it's like, Richard, don't, like, and they're like, ha-ha. Just like, ugh, I don't know. It made me feel weird.
If we rewatch this when we're in our 60s.
We'll be like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, we won't feel that same way.
Yeah.
So
I think we should talk about Catherine's recovery and how like she does not want to be helped by Richard at all.
Which it feels on brand for her.
Yeah.
Which would be so hard.
Also, when she fell off that treadmill.
That was really sad and scary. And then she just weeps.
She's weeps, but like also just like kind of, whoa.
Falling off a treadmill seems like the worst way to fall. Worst place to fall because the ground continues to move.
And then like Jackson's there and he's like, oh, it's just like so dramatic. But the way she weeps and that finally, like the physical therapist comes to help and she shoves her away and like leans into Richard.
Yeah.
I think was really, it's also really sad on Christmas when she was like really exhausted and she was in her beautiful outfit. She wouldn't let Richard help her up the stairs.
Yeah, she wanted to go to bed.
Yeah, and she was like, I'm sorry I didn't like do anything for the holiday or whatever. Jackson's like, we always get Christmas catered.
Because one of my notes was, wow, a fucking caterer. And then that made me laugh that she tried to play that off as like, we don't normally do this. Yeah. He's like, we've been doing this my whole life.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm happy that. Also, I have one other note about this.
Yeah, no.
She does PT in beautiful sweaters.
Oh, she's
I'm
always
like, why is she in that sweater doing on a treadmill?
Yeah,
like,
you've been to PT. What did you wear?
Yeah, I wore like tennis shoes and workout clothes. Like that's
like Miss Trunchbull vibes?
Yeah. I wasn't wearing like beautiful sweaters.
They're like long, flowy.
It's like you get warm. You're exercising. Yeah. Like you get hot.
Yeah.
So why are you wearing a sweater? I don't understand it.
It's interesting too that, so this is season 15 and we're in season 19 and they still do talk about her cancer.
Because she's still living with it.
Thank God.
Yeah, that they're still talking about
it. Yeah, and then it's not like Arizona's leg. Yeah, it's like, I'm living with one leg, but now never
but only for one season and then never again.
And okay, so I feel like in reflection with that, so there's that happening and then there's the Thatcher thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it's like, you know, obviously Catherine lives, but in that same episode, it's Jackson feeling like his mom is going to die. And then it's Meredith who's like going and her dad is going to die.
Yeah.
I really thought it was bold of Richard and like what a, almost like a dad move of him to be like, I don't need you. Go see your dad.
I thought that Meredith was going to get mad. Like when he was like, I don't need you. I thought there was going to be a fight, but it was about Thatcher. And I was happy
that it was about that.
That it was about that. Yeah.
And it's also, okay, I love a good, like, things happening that we didn't know about, but, like, I love this idea that Thatcher did come to, I almost wish they had put
shown
him
it.
There and we just never, but that he did go to the funeral. And then after that, that's when him and Richard started connecting.
Yeah.
And I like, too, that Richard never brought that up to Meredith because it was between him and Thatcher. Like, they have their own history.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was really respectful of Meredith for Richard to not, like, until this moment when it's kind of like you're running out of time. I don't know. I like this. I don't love Thatcher. He's obviously fucked up a lot. But this idea that he didn't say hi to her because it would have been more for him than her, I think that's very true.
Yeah. Like she wasn't like, didn't he say like you were an empty shell? Like you weren't there. Like, yeah. And it's not like they have this incredible relationship. Like probably, yeah, would have pissed her off to right. see him there. Like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Doing this now, you're showing up.
Yeah.
So I think it's better that he didn't. And I think Meredith realizes that as he says that. I also think how confusing, because I think Meredith doesn't necessarily at this point, like, want a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like in her brain, it's a little bit too late. Like,
yeah.
But at the same time, it is your dad dying. Whatever kind of relationship you have, it's someone that has been in your life. So I don't know. I feel like what a complicated emotion.
Yeah, like death is final.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want that opportunity to... And I do, like, I mean, she does get mad at him. She yells at him about... you know.
Well, when Lexi died and he didn't. But interesting that Lexi dying is what made him get sober. Is yeah. what we learn.
Also, when she ends up telling him that Alice and Richard had a child, and his response of like, well, at least something good came out of that was like...
I thought that was beautiful.
Really sweet. And I just, the whole thing, I just said to walk someone into death is so emotional.
Yes.
Like to be by their side as they transition into... whatever you may believe is the next thing, if yeah. there is anything, is a really like sacred and honorable thing to do.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like we have it twice. We have it with there and then we have it with Natasha, her yeah. husband later.
I wasn't super emotional with Thatcher. I feel like I was more emotional with Natasha. I'm, you know, like some listeners were really excited for us to talk about this. I guess I'm just happy that there was some... resolve. I think it was really nice that she brought those things back to her kids and said, like,
he cared about you.
Yeah. Your grandfather Thatcher thought about you and cared about you.
I think so too, because I mean, I don't know how generational trauma really works, but I do feel like having that reaction to her kids instead of saying your grandpa's a piece of shit and he would ever like that's, you know what I mean? It hurts no one to say this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he did care in his own weird way.
Yeah. And she like really pushes against like, I don't need your things. I don't want them. And then when it's like, well, it's for your kids, she's kind of like, oh, okay.
The only thing I didn't like is why did they have to make him go to Zimbabwe? And yeah. like white saviorism.
Yeah. That was odd.
Like building schools.
Yeah. Like I don't.
But like, I wish they'd been like, yeah, I went to Montana and I met some new people and lived in a neighborhood and we played cards all the time. Like, I wish it had been that.
Yeah. Also, I was like, what is this house? At first, I thought it was like a nursing home.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also was like, that nurse just left.
Yeah. Oh, I know. See ya.
Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
Just because Meredith's there, what if she has to leave? Like, that I found that odd.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that nurse should have stayed and he should have... I mean, he literally died. Like, should have been. What if that nurse would have left and Meredith wasn't there? He would have just died.
Yeah. I don't know. So I agree. Like, I didn't have as many feelings about it. I remember also, I think for me, I'm a little twisted because that actor, since seeing him as Thatcher, whatever character he played, you didn't watch, oh my God.
Scandal.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That character. And then he was in something else and he played something kind of like weird. And, what was he in that he played creepy something?
Oh, he wasn't creepy, but he played like a journalist person in that Anna.
Oh, I didn't watch that yet, but I did see him in that. Like, to me, it's been so far removed of him being Thatcher
yeah.
that his voice like triggers something else in me.
Sure. I get that.
Yeah. It's interesting too, like even when Meredith was in the early seasons, once he was on it, he's always felt this weird, like, I did leave you and your mother, so I don't feel that I deserve to be a part of your life. And I think that boundary has never...
Did he leave or did she leave?
Sorry, but like he's not, he... Sorry.
I like, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like just the fact that there's a boundary and he wasn't involved. Ellis, I feel like, took Meredith.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, so she left, I guess. But like he has never felt like he has permission
yeah.
to be. It's like Meredith is mad that he didn't become a part of her life. He never felt like he had permission to be a part of her life.
He also slapped Meredith across the face when Susan died.
Oh,
remember that?
Fuck. Yeah, that was rough.
That was really rough.
And he has had like three families at this point. Like,
and Meredith gave him part of her liver.
Yeah. And then he'd never.
And then he never. Whatever happened to that girlfriend?
I don't know. Wasn't yeah, I forgot about that.
She was Babe from All My Children.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like it's a good thing to tie up.
Yes, 100%. And like I think it was the right way, not that there is a right way, but a good way to write it.
Right.
Like that Meredith got to say goodbye
yes.
in some capacity.
I want to quick jump back really quick before we start a new topic. I forgot to say this
about
in regards
Tom.
In regards to Catherine and how Amelia and Tom, what they both did after the surgery.
Yes.
I I really loved when Tom goes into the chapel. It appears that he talks to his kid a lot, which is like so emotional to me.
He does. He tells April that like a couple. Right. Yeah. He says like, I talk to my son. Like that's his, he does it. He's mad at God, but he talks to his son now. Like he would go to church to talk to his son.
Oh yeah, that's right. So I love again that they're connecting that and doing that again. And I wrote down what he says. I can't find it though. He says something about, oh, he goes, I saved my friend today, David. Your dad was kind of a badass.
Yeah.
And I just love that he's talking to him very casually. Like it is just like this connecting way. I don't know. That was very beautiful to me. I also really loved what Amelia says. I like was writing the quote down and then someone came to fix our washer and I didn't finish it all, but it was, she says, most of my life, I've been chasing the kind of high that I feel right now. I gave a surgeon back her hands today, blah, blah, blah. And then she says something like, I'm incredibly grateful to be sober, feeling all of it.
Yes.
That is like life is feeling all of these feelings and they're not always good. And at this moment, she is grateful to be feeling all of those.
Yeah.
And that is like healing.
Yeah. And not trying to numb them.
Yeah. I love that part.
What do we think about Amelia, Teddy, and Owen, and Tom?
It's still the like interesting part for me. You know what I mean? Like it's not dragged down so long. I stand by this. Teddy and Tom would have been a good match.
I think so too.
I think the baby complicates it because Owen is dad mode.
So I think it's like really, you know, complicated when Owen runs out to Amelia and is like, I want to be with you. What took you so long?
Oh, I hated that line. Yeah, I hated that line.
And so they like get together. I got super emotional and weepy when Owen comes into Teddy and he's like, it's snowing. And they go outside. Where I got emotional was like, he watches her put her hands on her belly and he was like, he had offered for her to come over for dinner because Amelia wanted her to. And she's like, I took your shift or whatever. And then when he says like, we'll make our own traditions. And she's just like, I know. And like, I really think she does believe that. But also she knows like, it's kind of her and her like child, you know?
Yes.
And it just like, and she's going to spend Christmas alone. And I just like,
you got weepy like for Teddy.
For Teddy.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I got very weepy for Teddy and like what that would feel like. Knowing that, like, you don't know what life is going to look like with this child and your child's father being with someone else, but you know that they're all going to be in life together and, like, what are holidays going to be like?
I also felt like it was a moment where, like, Owen, in another time and place, would have wanted to put his hand there also.
Exactly.
You know? Like,
yeah.
But, like, he also can't because...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's so confusing. Ultimately... I also now wonder too, in thinking this, like, I'm sure any attention from Tom, like Teddy is feeling lonely because she's like going through this and like Tom is being so caring and like, you know, and so I wonder if like her feelings towards him are also just skewed because she is alone and Owen is over there. Like if Owen was single, she'd be with Owen.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It would just, I don't know either, but you notice when she goes to go on a date with Tom. Like Owen seems kind of upset by it. And Amelia looks at Owen like, what the fuck is this going on? You know, like everyone can read the fucking room.
Yes. I wonder like, is it I feel like in this universe, it is possible that Owen does love both of them.
Yeah, I think so.
And like.
And wants both of them.
He should.
Sister wives.
He should have sister wives. I think when I say how much I love Tom, I'm thinking about like if I were in this world and I wasn't pregnant and I just was going to date someone, the mani-pedi, when he goes to rub her feet and he's like, I know the perfect thing for you. You think he's going to like rub her feet and he's like, this girl at this place. Like love that he's in touch with his feminine side and getting manis and pedis. They do that on a date. He has dinner brought to
in.
That.
Yeah.
And then I just thought it was, I don't know. I just feel like he's very charming.
Yeah. I love when he comes into the attending lounge and he like, has fries and he like is like, I'm not going to feed them. And she's like, I have feet hands. Like she's been touching her feet with her hands. And so he feeds her fries. I'm like, that's, I love that. And then she invites him out to celebrate. And he's like, it's because he wants to go talk to his son.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I do love Tom. I also think it's so fucking, he gets dirty. He gets done dirty. Like I know he sleeps with Teddy and
then he just ghosts the show.
Right. But like, then he like, so then she chooses, even though they sleep together, she still chooses Owen.
Yeah.
And then he has to go to Boston because he needs to do some like unlearning. Yeah. And then, yeah, he just like...
And that fixes everything.
He's not yet found someone. And that makes me sad.
Yeah.
Where I am here. I am here, Tom.
Abby's right
it's
here,
Tom.
It's
weird because I don't even think... physical attraction to him is not my norm. It's like his personality.
Yeah. No, I see that. Yeah. It's very much his personality.
I think he seems like a partner that would plan things for me. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes feels like...
Nice.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting when Owen like said that thing about addicts in front of Amelia.
I was like, Owen, you fucking idiot. Yeah. Read the room. He says something about what piss poor life. That choices. It's an excuse for piss poor life decisions. And like.
You are standing in front of an addict.
Yes. And like, also like maybe you can have that thought because you don't, you aren't an addict and you don't understand. But like, even with Brittany, AKA Betty, like, I just don't know.
She's also a child.
Yeah. Like who, she's pregnant. A child. She was terrified.
Yeah. And
who knows if it was a consensual pregnancy?
Yeah. Part of me feels like I like totally agree where Amelia is coming from, where she's like going to leave. Cause that's awful to say, but, and I know she ends up staying because Owen apologizes, but another part of me is like, Amelia, you can't always just run away when someone says something
yeah,
dumb.
You can't.
Like,
yeah.
You have to stay and be like, you can't right. say things like that.
You know what? I've never run away to your yeah, house when
no,
Jake
like,
says
I'm going to
dumb.
Meredith. If I was Meredith, I'd be like, get the fuck out of my house.
Wait, I'm going to start, if Jake and I fight, say, I'm going to Breeze.
I'm going to Breeze.
House,
I'm out of here.
Your house is Meredith's house.
I know. And I would welcome you, but at some point I'd be like, you have to go home and talk to your husband.
Yeah, so it's just a mess. It's just a mess.
Oh, Tom and Ted, going back, Tom and Teddy kiss on New Year's Eve.
Yes. I love how it's like a friend kiss. It's, I mean, I'm sure there's obviously more behind it, but it's like when you're next to a friend that is yeah. also single and you just do it, you're an adult.
Yeah.
But it clearly sparks. Because they like kiss. It's not a makeout. It's
no,
like a quick
it's just
little smooch.
It's a little New Year's kiss.
Do you think they were so nervous when they were standing next to each other and it was counting down?
Oh, absolutely. Remember those feelings?
I was so nervous standing next to you knowing you were about to get engaged.
Yeah.
Oh, the adrenaline.
I'm so happy we don't have to do that again. And
oh, that
be
was so much fun.
Be nervous, I'm saying. Oh, like now we're just like, we can sit on the couch.
Yeah, that's true. okay.
What else do we have? We're going to talk about Meredith and post-op. About her little love triangle.
I feel like we're going to give our opinions, but we should just say...
There's a love triangle.
Yeah. And like Link helps with the birthday party and all that. Again, we're going to give our opinions on who like we think is best. But like, what did you think of DeLuca's timing and whatever for the date thing?
Wait, I can't remember when
At the end, Natasha literally just dies. And then he's like, come here. You do have a date.
Oh. Well, you got to get it in when you can.
I guess so.
I think he's fighting against Link.
I just would be like, I do not want to drink champagne right now.
Yeah, this was tough. This was a tough day, DeLuca.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we should save it for post-op.
Okay.
Link
does have golden retriever energy, though.
Very much so. Should we talk about Natasha?
Yeah, that was
sad.
Like, came out of left field.
Yeah.
Because she comes in an earlier episode.
Yeah, like two,
then,
yeah. Two
and then this here. Happens. Okay. Okay.
Oh, you have feelings about
no,
it.
No, I was so devastated when to be Garrett and have to be there and like choose to let your wife die because those are her wishes.
Yeah. I have something to say.
Okay.
They said it was hospital day 35 when it was like, I don't know, Christmas or something,
mm-hmm.
but they had showed Halloween decorations. So clearly it was longer than 35 days.
It's 85 days. It goes from wherever we picked up to Valentine's Day. So it's October to February.
Yeah, I know, but not in February. It was like during Christmas when Christmas decorations were up. They were like, it's day 35.
Okay.
And they had shown Halloween decorations. That's more than 35 days. I was like, your math is wrong.
Maybe it's in notes and trivia. I didn't
maybe.
Check. Interesting. But yeah, so clearly we skipped a lot of seasons. Kind of grateful we didn't have to have like a Christmas episode.
Yeah, we just
or
went
Thanksgiving
kind of through. We had a New Year's one, which we've never really had.
That's true. And Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Which
we've had a Valentine's
who was it
Day
that
one.
Was like,
Bailey got married on Valentine's
Joe
Day.
Joe was like, said, no, who was it that she, and he was like, you hate Valentine's Day. And she's like, I'm trying. Who said that? What character?
Oh yeah. Who was that?
Oh God. I'm so sorry to the ghost. We'll think about it. Anyway, okay. Natasha. I devastating to be Garrett and have Absolutely. To like sit there. Not that like, I mean, it was going to happen at some point.
Yeah. And Natasha choosing to be taken off the
like,
bed.
That literally all I had was such anxiety thinking like time is running out. Like,
well, but time's not real. Time's
I know,
not
but like, no, I know. Like a finite amount of time left. And like, it just made me I just was panicky.
I know.
I would be like word vomiting the fuck to the person.
I said, this is too fucking sad. And it's too much on a Wednesday morning. I was like, it's way too much for me to be dealing with. And it was so sad when they laid the blue dress on her and then they had all the stars. God damn it. And then she dies. Yeah. And then they all like turn off their stars and they like walk out. And then I just imagine like sitting there for a while with your, you know.
Yeah, being like, they were just here.
Yeah, with your loved one who passed.
The veil is
thin. It's, yeah, it's just so sad.
It was just a lot. One part I did love was that speech Meredith gives to Garrett before when she's doing a little bit better and then she starts to not do well. She says, because he starts having a panic attack and he says, if she dies, I die. And I feel like this hits Meredith because obviously she might have felt the same way at some point, but then couldn't. Yeah. And she says, you won't die. I know it feels like that, but trust me, you won't die. You have to fight for her. She's in there fighting for you. You don't get to give up. So part of that fight is you're going to go take a walk. You're going to take a shower and you're going to get a meal. We will be here fighting to keep her alive. And you are going to go fight to keep yourself alive.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think that's a good point because he's like been at the hospital nonstop. And it's like, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
You got to take care of yourself.
I love that her advice is literally practical. It is go on a walk, take a shower, and get a meal.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to be told to do those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Do the Averys have a tennis court? Did you notice that?
No, but of course they do.
Yeah. Okay.
They're tennis people, of course.
Yeah. They're very wealthy.
I know. Okay. I'm just making sure we're not missing any little things. Do you have anything to say about the Betty Brittany situation?
Oh, I thought it was really interesting. So Betty's her real name. Her parents don't know.
Brittany's her real name.
I'm sorry. Betty's real name is Brittany. Mm-hmm. Her parents don't know where she is. Owen and Amelia have been calling her friend Jerry.
I love that.
Betty doesn't want Amelia and Owen to call her actual parents because she is really afraid that they will take Leo.
Which, what a conundrum for them.
Yeah. And when she found out she was pregnant, like, that's when she ran away.
Okay, question though. Like, Owen is fostering. If right. you agree to be a foster parent, it is always better for your child to be with birth mom /
yeah.
family, if possible. Like it avoids so many traumas if there is a way to make it happen in a safe and healthy way.
Yes.
I think it's shitty of Owen to be like, Leo is my son.
I'm is
like,
my
actually,
son.
He's not.
He's not your son. You're fostering and you're right. not like, I don't feel like he was fostering to adopt.
No.
He was fostering.
Right. Because they knew who birth mom was.
Yeah. And so I think that's super messed up of Owen. He needs to get his head straight.
Yeah, that was fucked up in my opinion.
But I mean, he ends up adopting Leo.
Yeah. But it's like, and I know he's like searching for her real name. He's like, is it with a T-N-E-Y or A-N-Y, her name?
Yeah.
But like, I get that conundrum he's in where like, oh God, if I find her parents, then that means this kid might be taken away from me. But my issue is not that. Like, obviously that's tough, but it's not your kid. It's...
Yeah. And these parents are probably...
wondering where their fucking daughter is.
And so scared.
Don't we find out that they're not actually bad people? Like, don't we think?
Yeah. They're not bad people at all, I don't think. And it's just the drugs. And I thought the part was really sad where Betty Brittany was like, I miss drugs. Like, I don't miss Leo. Like, I miss getting high.
He's very honest.
Yeah. And like, Amelia was like, that's good that you're admitting that. But then she wanted kind of nothing to do with Amelia. I think she's also pulling to probably wanting to be with her parents, ultimately. Mm-hmm. Like, Amelia was being very motherly.
Yes.
And I think Betty was like, I don't want
you're
that
not my
from
mom.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, that still gets me weird because Amelia is her sponsor, not
yeah.
her mom. They both yeah. have issues.
Yeah. Boundaries.
Yeah. Leo ends up there, but Betty goes back, right?
Yes, I believe okay. so. I don't have much more to say about that. It's sad. It's really sad. And I hope that
I'm so sorry, listeners. Oh, my phone is ringing. I'm going to decline it here. Maybe, okay, great. Sorry.
Yeah, that. Abby's a very busy person.
My phone's over there. I got to turn it off. So anyways, that's really all I have. I feel like, anything on Levi since we're not talking about him. And I
think it's great that he's like feeling confident and like—
He doesn't wear glasses again.
I love to when like— I mean, I guess he comes out to the rest of the surgeons.
Oh, that moment was— That was lovely.
Yeah, and everyone was like super supportive and like—
He says something about like, it's the most me I've ever felt. Yeah. And I also like too that none of the other surgeons are like making a big deal of it.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, great.
Yeah.
Like we accept you. Like, you know, and so, but that moment I thought was really— also National Coming Out Day was— By the time this comes out, it'll have been the week before. But yeah, so that was timely.
Yeah.
But that was just a really lovely moment, I thought. I also was glad that Nico said something like, it's not because of me. Like, this has always been there.
Yeah.
He is still an asshole, but
yeah, that one line really saved him in the episode.
Yep.
I guess I have, like, the last note I really have, and it's going back to some other stuff, the Thatcher thing.
Okay.
For some reason, and tell me what you think about this, a lot of it felt very soap opera-y.
Something about the set.
Yeah, is that what it was? I was like, this feels like something on daytime television that like, you know, I don't know if you ever watched soap operas, but they would do like a scene that went over all week long, you know?
Oh.
So it kind of felt like, okay, we're going to like pick back up tomorrow and they'll still be like talking in this scene. That's what it felt like to me.
I've never seen enough soap operas to know that thing, but that makes sense to me. And it did just feel— it felt weird because they're not in a hospital. It's just a strange—
Like house we've never seen. So
yeah. Another note I had is that the last episode starts with a Sleeping at Last song. It is the Enneagram One song.
Oh.
It is my favorite song, clearly, because like of those. So just a shout out, if you are into the Enneagram, Sleeping at Last did this really awesome podcast series. They wrote 9 songs for each Enneagram type. And when I say that like everything is purposeful in the song, like the instrumental noises in part of that song are used with cleaning supplies. There is the Enneagram song specifically has a beat of 1 second, which, this one was all about time. I bet they did that too.
So it's
literally like it's on— I don't know music terms, but like the beat of the music is the same as like seconds are. It's so fucking brilliant. The lyrics are so good. It's my favorite podcast about Enneagram, and it's just 9 episodes. I think if you just type in Sleeping at Last podcast, you'll find it. But it's so good. The one song and the 2 song is so good.
Do they talk about them or do they just—
Yeah. They deep dive it.
Yeah.
They have like an expert that talks about the actual Enneagram and then they talk about why and how they wrote the song. And
Got
it's really beautiful. But that song— wait, let me just read you a line from it. It says, one moment. So it says— it was the first one too, of course, best thing about being a one. It says, well, it starts out with, hold on for a minute, because I believe that we can fix this over time. So right away, it's about time. But it says, I'll hold it all more loosely and yet somehow much more dearly, because I've spent my whole life searching desperately to find out that grace requires nothing. Grace requires nothing of me. It's just a sweet song.
Oh.
And like, yes, Sleeping at Last can slightly be religious, but the podcast is very like non.
Non?
Yeah.
Okay.
So highly recommend. Okay.
All right. Should we do notes and trivia? Or wait, yes.
Yeah, notes and trivia. I'll start.
Okay.
This episode's title originated from the song Help, I'm Alive, originally sung by Metric.
Scored 6.98 million viewers.
Derek Bailey Shepherd turns 5 in this episode. If the show were to consider the concept of time, that would mean the episode takes place in mid-2018, given the fact that this time of birth was in May 2013. However, this date provided by Teddy surrounding her pregnancy indicates the episode takes place late 2018.
So that's not that far.
No.
In the scene where Amelia and Tom are trying to remove a tumor, Microsoft... What?
HoloLens?
Is used as a metal? Okay.
That was the thing that Joe, like...
Oh, okay.
The tool. The next one, episode's title originated from the song The Winner Takes It All, originally sung by ABBA.
It scored 7.27 million viewers.
This marks Thatcher Gray's first appearance since the season 7 episode PYT, Pretty Young Thing.
This was the first episode directed by Allison Liddy Brown since the season 8 episode. support system. She directed at least one episode every season from season 5 through 8. Oh, well, that's kind of interesting. It's been a while.
The final song in the episode, When It Don't Come Easy, was chosen because it was the song, oh, here we go.
Oh,
writer Elizabeth Finch listened to over and over during chemo to calm her. I'm just going to keep going. In 2022, news broke that Elizabeth Finch fabricated much of her backstory, including her cancer diagnosis.
The baby pictures at Thatcher's house are of Jeff Perry's daughter, Leah Perry.
This episode marks when Meredith joins the Dead Dads Club along with Christina, George, and Alex, which makes Izzy the only original intern not to be a known member.
This episode's title originated from the song Girlfriend in a Coma, originally sung by the Smiths.
It scored 6.79 million viewers.
As of this episode, Levi Schmidt no longer wears glasses. This was probably done to reflect Levi's change in behavior, which Meredith and Joe commented on by saying that he's less glasses. I feel like they say... Do they just say less glasses?
She's like, you seem less glasses. Yeah. Like, goof. Ben gets inside of aid car 15, although he works for station 19.
Oh.
Yeah. Catherine Fox. I want to give it to Tom and Amelia.
Great.
Like,
I love it.
Duo that fucking saved Catherine Fox.
Yeah. That's great. Rate the episode.
All together? God, I keep thinking I'm going to rate it low. I'm just like a 7.
I would feel good about a 7. Yeah. There were some boring parts, yes, but like it was entertaining enough. And I had some GGBs in the last one. And
yeah.
So yeah, 7 feels good.
Sounds good. If you are a $10 patron, stick around for post-op. We're going to talk about Link and DeLuca and Meredith. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. Again, make sure if you want to hear our reaction episodes, you have to be a $10 patron to hear those. We can't wait to watch season 19 with you and keep chugging along season 15.
Time of death is 1632.
Beep.